Off the ball
on News Talk.
In association with the Air Sport app, allowing you to cast your favourite sporting action from your tablet or mobile phone straight to your TV.
All right, I'm delighted to say Ruby Walsh is here in studio. How are you doing?
Good, enjoy yourself.
What's the recovery from the leg like at this stage?
It's going well. It will be 11 weeks this Saturday, so you'd usually have an x-ray after 12 weeks. Theoretically, the bone should be getting close to 97% healed, which is sufficient to use.
Yeah.
It would take considerably longer for it to be 100% healed, but that is the case with every bone. It's after when you can use it. It's when it's what I need to know.
And how is you as a patient these days compared with you as a patient when you were a younger man?
I wouldn't think much different.
You don't get better at it?
I don't think you do. Do you ever get better at being low? I don't think you do. No, I wouldn't think much better. I would think I probably have a better concept of rehab, physiotherapy and how to recover, but I wouldn't think I'm any better as a patient.
Right. I just assume that you kind of get more realistic about stuff and less fatalistic, and you kind of know that there will be a recovery, but it's in the middle of it, I guess, that's the bit where you're like...
But you're living in the here and the now, aren't you? So you're watching the TV, you're watching horses winning, you're looking at what's coming up, and being realistic rather than fatalistic, you're still living in the now, so it still hurts you in the now. And obviously you might look at it a little bit more being realistic, as in, well, if those horses that you should be riding, if they're not winning, it means they're not good enough, and therefore what are you coming back to ride? So you might look at it differently that way. You might be hoping that they win, and now what you're coming back to ride will be very good. But that's only a personal view looking at it. That comes with age. I mean, when you're younger, you're worried about the person that's riding them and not getting back on them, and when you should always have been worried about the actual horse being good enough to get back on.
Yeah. Okay, that's a fair point. The I don't know if you watch American football, but the Super Bowl this weekend has Tom Brady in it, and he's 40 and he's going to set all sorts of records in terms of his age, and everybody keeps saying, and have been for the last couple of years, you should retire, and then he'll come back and he'll win Super Bowl and he'll win MVP, and he says he's going to go on for another couple of years because he's looked after himself really well. But the thing that struck me that was most interesting about him was after last year, he said, whatever scenario I'm in now, I have seen before. I've done this so often that there's nothing that anybody throws at me that I haven't seen before. And that struck me as like, that is experience distilled into one sentence. I've seen this film before. I know exactly what to do. You've reached that point in your career where there's no new challenges. Like you've seen this before. You know what to do and you know how to do it. And we don't value that very much in sport.
No, maybe we don't last long enough for it to come to fruition that often. But I don't think as a challenge. I don't think Tom Brady meant there's no new challenge to him. I think every season when he sets out with whatever team he's playing for to try and win the Super Bowl is the challenge. The scenarios that happen within each match will be similar to what would happen within a race for me. So tactically, I would like to think that I have been through every scenario. Been in the right place, been in the wrong place, etc. Build up, high pressure. You've been through all of that. So that's pretty much the same. But the challenge and the goal is still to be winning and still to achieve the targets you set yourself, the goals you set for yourself, to keep up the standards you set for yourself. But you have more experience. So, yeah, but that comes with everything in life, with age. And it does not just sport. I mean, if you can relate that to life. I mean, the people who lived through, who invested before the last recession, won't invest before the next one. But that's only experience. There will be Celtic Cubs, or whatever they were called again, who you can't tell that don't buy that now. That will happen again. That's experience, but that's everything in life. Like, I see it with kids, until they touch the stove, they don't know what hot is.
It's true. Do you enjoy that part of being experienced at this point? Like, when you're in the middle of a race and you think, okay, actually, I know what's going to happen here. He's going to go a little bit early and that'll be fine and I'm going to let him go. Whereas maybe as a 22-year-old, you would have been, I've got to be with them.
That was always tactical pace. I don't think that would have changed too much through my career. But you might be thinking, when things aren't going right, don't panic. If this doesn't go right, there'll be another day. Don't panic. Don't leave it all behind you today.
Like Cheltenham last year, the first couple of days.
Don't panic. You sit down and you rationalise. You go through everything rationally. Obviously you need good people around you to discuss that with. discussing with your cell phone always work. But you just you need people around you. But yeah, yeah, with experience, you become probably leveler. You don't get as high or as low.
Really, even when like the lows are as low as they were last year, and the high was so high in the space of 48 hours, like, because that.
No, you don't. It might come bursting out of you, but then it's gone. So no, I don't think the highs or the lows. You definitely stay a bit leveler as you get older.
What happened those 2 days? What was the like?
That's how we rationalised it. Sitting in the house with Gillian and a couple of very good friends, and we went through it from top to bottom. Because we weren't just going through what I'd ridden, you're going through all the horses on the team in the yard. You're looking at it, and I'm sure Willie and Jackie and Patrick were having a similar conversation wherever they were, but you're just going through it. And you went back, like Mellon ran his race, Royal Caviar ran his race in the Arkle. Footpad was placed in fourth in the Champion Hurdle. It was a great run for him. Vroom Vroom Mag and Limini, they were second and third, but we had Appleshade. We knew how good Appleshade was. You start rationalise what your expectations were, and maybe were our expectations a fraction high. They'd run to form. Like Duvan hadn't, but he was lame and was injured. Nothing we could do about that. Bacardi's at all, but Bar got brought down. Kenboy had ran his race. You start looking at it rationally. One or two horses that ran disappointing, but when you go to Cheltenham, that's going to happen. You should be more than one or two running disappointing. So we sat down on Wednesday night and rationalised it all. We would love to have had a winner, but things weren't going that bad. You know, and we knew we were backloaded rather than frontloaded, as we had been in other years. Our big guns were on the back end of the team, not the front.
So would you have been able to rationalise that? Is that the gift of experience?
Yes.
And just knowing that, okay, be calm about this and surrounding yourself with people.
Sit down, because all you can do on the Wednesday night at Cheltenham is affect what's going to happen Thursday or Friday. You cannot change what's happened Tuesday and Wednesday.
Yeah.
Be it good or bad, it's history. You have to only, when you're in a sport and environment, you can only affect the future. The past can't be changed.
When you do have the amazing day that follows, is there part of you that wants to go completely mental and go, I may as well enjoy this because this is an all-time great day?
I did enjoy it. You don't have to go completely mental to enjoy it. There's the self-satisfaction, that feeling within yourself that I compete for. It's not the party or where we go the following night. It's the self-satisfaction. It's that feeling when you cross the line, that satisfaction within yourself when you've achieved what you set out to achieve. It's that feeling from within. It's what you do it for.
When do you get that? Is it at the finish line? Does it last the whole way up to the parade ring?
Oh, yeah. You know what I mean? And there's no doubt you would be in a better humour. Your whole demeanour would be better for it.
Yeah.
But that's like any winning feeling. That's that extra adrenaline within you.
Okay. And so that's obviously a really beneficial thing to have. And does it make you a better rider in those races? Like, so how do you compartmentalise and go, I need the adrenaline on the Thursday that I didn't get from winning on the Wednesday? Can you kick that in? Can you fake that somehow?
I don't know. No, I think that probably comes from the desire you have anyway.
If you use the anger or the anger.
Yeah, you retrain the anger. You retrain like you re not retrain. You
repurpose.
Redistribute. Would that be the word?
Yeah,
it's a big word, isn't it? Redistribute the anger. And it's, you try harder, but you can't try too hard. And that temper within you, it replaces the adrenaline of winning.
Because the temper obviously is I don't know what separates great sports people. I think they're all individuals, but there tends to be some kind of core things where there is an ability to redo and to keep practicing that most human beings kind of give up after a period of time. It's like planing a piece of wood. Most casual people will kind of go, it's grand, it's a bit bumpy, but the sports people will continue to make sure that they understand the skill set that they require. And I think I always feel like part of that has to come from something to do with anger somewhere along the way, as well as desire. And they're two sides of the same coin. That's what it feels like. And that's why you use your defeat so much.
Yeah. I don't know is racing comparable that way to other sports. I mean, to be technically as correct as a golfer needs to be. Backswing, where he is at the top of his swing, downswing, weight in his left leg, right leg, channel it this way, channel it that way. Technically, probably riding a horse is not as technical as that, or maybe playing tennis. It's not as technical as playing tennis. You know, rugby players, do they practice as technically maybe as soccer players? Probably not. Maybe they do, but I don't believe they do. So racing is probably in the same sense. You wouldn't, like playing in the piece of wood, you're not just hitting the ball all day. There's so much more to it. It's the tactics of it. It's the opposition and the tactics.
Yeah.
Whilst it's an individual sport, so you're concentrating on the opposition as much as what you're doing yourself. So maybe reading form and watching replays of racing, maybe you would consider that the same as playing in the piece of wood. But I find that interesting. I find that fascinating. Looking for the weaknesses in the opposition, or figuring out what their strengths are. You know, I suppose looking at the way different jockeys ride. But technically, there's so many ways to ride a horse. There's no correct way. There's probably loads of wrong ways, but there's no one correct way to do it.
When you're looking at how the other jockeys ride the horse, is that for tells in the middle of a race about when they're going to adjust their speed?
Yeah, or tactically, what way they like to do things. You know, some guys like to be very prominent and forward and always in, you know, a similar position, and they'll get a horse into the same position whether it's the right thing or not for the horse. You know, some guys ride completely off field. They're the hardest guys to read. They'll ride every race differently.
Yeah.
They're a hard guys to judge. But different people, and you get to know people over the years, their body language, their mood, you know, when they're confident, when they're not confident, you know. And I suppose the one mistake that most sports people make is that when things aren't going right, they change and they start playing safe. The one thing you should never do is change. What was working for you will work again. Just don't change.
So on that Thursday, when everything starts to go well, in the middle of the day, are you? What's that like when the first winner happens? Is there?
Well, Barry Geraghty was slagging me. You got your tongue back. I was talking again. But I don't know. Does your body language change? People say it's all about confidence. I don't know. Confidence is your own mental strength. If you're completely right on confidence, you're not going to sustain it. It's not going to be consistent.
Yeah.
Because you're not always going to be confident.
After a defeat, it's hard to be confident.
Exactly. So you can't, people that are winning on the back of confidence don't last the test of time and aren't consistent enough. But I think it's just to treat every race as an individual race.
The reason I started bringing up the Tom Brady stuff was that you do get the sense that there's a level of information there. So long as he can stand up and move back and throw the ball, he's going to be grand. Obviously, people are trying to kill him every time he does it. But there's no specific end point for you where you're like, I can't get up on this horse. You know, like looking at Tony McCoy and how devastated he was when he retired, it doesn't make sense to me now that he did retire. It would have been better for him to kind of keep going.
Yeah, he was on a different journey, I suppose, than me. When I started as a professional, the first year as a professional, I was champion jockey. But the following year, I broke my leg and I wasn't champion. And then the year after that, I was champion again, and then I got hurt again and I wasn't. So sporadically throughout my career, I have amassed 12 championships. But I've been riding as a professional for 19, 20 seasons. So there's too many seasons in there I wasn't,
yeah. Right?
Whereas AP, through his own success, was champion conditional, then was champion jockey. And then one was two, three, four, and I started on a roll. And all of a sudden, it was 15, 16, but it was continuous.
Yeah.
And the continuous of it, that if somewhere in there that had been broken, the pressure to be continuously champion jockey wouldn't have existed. And that might have had a different outcome for him.
Yeah.
I think he'd gotten to a point where there wasn't much more to achieve.
And that was his identity.
And he was at the top. He'd been 20 times champion jockey. Would 21 have made that any better? No. Would 22 sound any better? Probably not. Would anybody ever beat it? No. Somebody might ride more winners than him at some stage, but they won't have that continuity. And it was an amazing record that he wanted to have and keep, and that's probably why he retired. Was he physically ready to retire? I don't know. He was fit and his appetite was still there. His desire to ride was still there. But he had that amazing record and he wanted to go before that was broken. So that's why he retired.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. It does feel though that he kind of regretted the decision, or that he regretted that there was no easier way for him to...
I don't think he did. I don't think he did. He struggled with his weight. I'm fortunate in that I don't struggle with my weight. And I'm not on that same treadmill that he is on. He might miss racing and the big days, but every sports person's going to do that. Do I honestly think he misses the daily grind through May, June, July, August, September, going from Cartmel to Newton Abbot back to Perth, hours and hours in the car, from one meeting to the next? Does he miss the grind of that? No. And I don't think there was a career for him where he could continue as a jockey without doing that.
Yeah.
So that's how you have to weigh it up. I don't think he misses that.
So you've got the best of both worlds where you can kind of manage yourself.
My career just took a different shape. I didn't have that continuous championship run. I didn't have that continuous amount of winners. My career's been up and down through injury. So I probably went after the bigger races younger. And to me, they were more achievable than quality was more achievable than quantity.
Which would suggest to me that there's no end in sight. There's an end in sight for everybody.
There's an end for everyone.
Exactly. But not like it's not, you know, you don't feel this kind of, Jesus, the clock is ticking here and I've got to do this because...
No, but I'm well aware of the fact that there's more behind me than there is in front of me.
Yeah.
There's no doubt in that. But the end, I think, like everything in life, somewhere along the way, you get fed up. You've had enough.
Yeah. Are you close to that?
I don't think so. But I don't think you get close to it. I think it just happens. You'll come into this lovely new studio you build someday and think, this isn't for me. How long are you going to hang around then? You know, I think that happens. I think that, you know, there's a couple of things that happen to you in racing. Your bottle, we would call it, deserts you.
Yeah.
But I think that happens to you a bit younger than me. I think you just have had enough. You'll get somewhere along the way, I think, you know, I just had enough of this.
Yeah. Would, because you wrote did a piece with Malachy Clerkin last year where you were talking about the online stuff and the shit that jockeys get whenever a horse doesn't win, because horses sometimes they don't win every race. So it turns out there's more than one horse in the it turns out there's more than one horse in the race. And that was something that really kind of was beginning to annoy you to a point where you were happy to talk about, like, I just wish everybody would shut up with the stuff they're writing online.
Yeah, but probably looked at it differently now. I just kind of thought, now I look at it and think, like, what difference does it make what somebody online thinks?
It's hard to ignore people chirping in your ear. It's like the basketball player who goes into the crowd. Everybody goes, why did you do that? He's just some drunk douchebag. And it's like, yeah, but he was screaming at me.
He was screaming, okay, I don't have to go into the crowd. I'm going to say the railing. But I think I just stopped reading what was online.
Yeah.
Not that I ever read it that much. I had to use Twitter commercially. I don't use Twitter. Don't have a Facebook page. Don't do Snapchat, Instagram.
Yeah.
And I don't think I'm in any worse off for not being part of that.
Yeah.
Cyber world.
So that's not going to hasten any kind of sense of getting fed up with it. It's like,
no, I stepped out of the cyber world. I think that I think the cyber world will be a big issue down the line.
Yeah.
I think it's ungoverned
in terms of people's mental health.
Yeah, I think it's ungoverned. I think it's in newspapers can't write what individuals can write.
Yeah.
In the cyber world. And I think it will become an issue, a massive issue down the line, that it, to me, is spiralling out of control. I'm glad I'm not on it, but I do worry about my kids and how smartphones and the cyber world is going to affect their lives. I don't think it'll be as innocent and nice a life as I grew up in.
No, it's already kind of grotesque.
Childhood even.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not life, obviously. Some stage you have to grow up, but I think your childhood innocence will go at younger ages. And I don't know what that make for a better population, a better race, or a better world.
Doesn't seem
I
like
don't
it,
think
does
it will.
No, it seems grim. Like my eldest is six, and I'm terrified about what is in store for her and
trying to
her
help.
Class. Like,
yeah, I just think it's we've created this monster, and I think only we can stop it. I think we're far too worried about what every Tom, Dick, and Harry is saying about us. Go back to the world when you didn't know what they were saying about you.
I always found it interesting that Steve Jobs wouldn't give his kids iPhones. He was like, no, my kids can't have screens. Like, the rest of the world can have them, but like, the guy who invented this thing is like, no, that's a dangerous thing that he wouldn't give his kids until they were old enough to actually know how to use it properly. So I think that might be something I might try but fail to do. It's like,
should they just have the kindies that end up in school and being bullied for not having one?
Yeah, so no, it's true.
Where do you balance that one?
It's,
we can have this chat all later.
It is a high wire act. Just we should talk about the festival this weekend. It's an opportunity to kind of bring this thing together. I think generally from like as an outsider looking in at the racing world, stuff like this really helps because it's like you can beat the drum about it. You can say this is a brilliant festival. It's a brilliant stepping stone, staging post, and some of the best horses in the world are going to be here. I don't know what it's like for you guys, if you kind of prefer the stuff being pushed together or if it's better if it's spread out.
I think when you look at it honestly, it's what's good for the sport is what we have to take as good. I think this is great for jump racing. I think it's an amalgamation of a couple of really good cards that were dotted out through January and early February. They've been amalgamated into 2 days racing at Leopardstown. I think it's like racing is no different to any other sport. It's all about the clashes. And you have to generate the clashes to generate interest. I mean, if you have one horse races or races where winners aren't meeting, you have to generate clashes. This is a weekend of huge clashes. I mean, you have York Hill taking on Main Special Tiara and Simply Ned. You have Footpad versus Petit Mouchoir. You have Faheen after his dismal performance at Christmas trying to come back and take on Melon and Defy Desai. You know, you have Sam Crow taking on all the horses from the Novice Hurdle at Christmas. There's just clashes race after race after race. You know, and it won't all be hugely competitive, thrilling finishes. Someone is going to be dominant, someone will fall, but the opportunity for it all to be thrilling is there.
Yeah,
I think it's a brilliant idea. I think it fits nicely in the calendar. I think if you were to knock it, I probably would have gone last weekend. I would have avoided Six Nations completely. I think that racing has to market, has to realise where his place is in the market.
Yeah, well, if
and it needs to get on its own.
And if it was a home game this weekend, it'd be a bit of a disaster.
Well, it wouldn't be helping anyway.
No.
So maybe that could be something to look at. I think it needs to get itself on its own in there.
Yeah.
But this is super racing. I think it's fairly priced. You know, €30, €50 for the 2 days. I think it's in Dublin. You know, Saturday night in Dublin. I think it all works.
Yeah.
Super racing, and it, of course, like everything else, it will be dependent on the weather, but that's uncontrollable.
Ruby, good stuff. Thanks very much. Enjoy.
Cheers.
That was Ruby Walsh there. We'll put the full goodness of that interview up on youtube.com/offtheball. You can subscribe there for all our good stuff and the more in-depth stuff that we do as well. The Dublin Racing Festival that we've just been talking about is taking place this weekend at Leopardstown Racecourse. Headline acts include Damien Dempsey and Vogue Williams. There will be 7 Grade 1 races with prize money to the value of €1.5 million. Comedians Fred Cook, Eric Lawler, Alison Spittle and Gerard Farrelly will also be performing over the 2 days. For more information, check out leopardstown.com/Dublin Racing Festival or search for the hashtag Dublin Racing Festival on Twitter, the leopardstown.com/Dublin-Racing-Festival for the URL there. And it is a brilliant, brilliant idea. So hopefully it gets massive crowds this weekend.
Off the ball on Newstalk in association with the Air Sport app, allowing you to cast your favourite sporting action from your tablet or mobile phone straight to your TV.